Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's another beautiful day. Hello and good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in to Africa Link. I'm Crispin Mwakideo in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, Zambians react to the country's political wrangle pitting the interim president Guy Scott against Edgar Lungu.
I'm not against Guy Scott exercising his authority constitutionally. I think we live in a society where everyone should be equal by now.
We have not yet buried our president. So for him starting appointing other people and removing other people, that's not good.
Crimes on the increase in South Africa. We hear from one of the victims.
Actually, when I was playing soccer, I did survive after we finished our game. Those people were trying to shoot and kill us.
And Malawians are forced to dig deeper into their pockets as the Kwacha currency continues to fall. All these stories and more lined up for you in the next 25 minutes. I'll be right back.
Top story.
Removal, riots, reinstatement. This was the order of events in Zambia after the acting president Guy Scott on Tuesday reinstated Edgar Lungu as the ruling Patriotic Front's secretary general. Riots had broken out late Monday in the capital Lusaka and Kitwe after Scott dismissed Lungu as the party's chief in what analysts say is an ongoing battle to succeed late president Michael Sata. From Lusaka, Kati Sikombe reports.
As Zambia's deceased president, Michael Sata, continues to lie in state, political infighting within the ruling Patriotic Front has added to the public's anxiety. And the infighting was taken to the streets on Monday as PF supporters clashed with the police in the capital Lusaka, as well as in Zambia's second largest city, Kitwe. They were protesting against the acting president Guy Scott's decision to fire the party's secretary general. Addressing the media in Lusaka, acting president Guy Scott called for calm in the country to allow for a dignified burial of the late president.
After the completion of the burial of the late president,
after the completion of the burial of His Excellency Michael Sata, the Central Committee of the Patriotic Front will then be convened as laid down in the party constitution. At that time, any member of the Central Committee who intends to stand for election as party president or presidential candidate would have to resign to avoid a conflict of interest. We remained united in our dedication to our late president and to the party that he founded. It is important to ensure that his funeral is conducted in a dignified manner and that we ensure that his vision lives on.
Some PF party officials allied to Defense Minister Edgar Lungu are not happy with the appointment of Guy Scott as interim leader during the transition period. Rayford Mbolu, Deputy Minister of Labour, who supports the Lungu faction, insists Lungu is the rightful person to run the country.
What is regrettable so far is that the infighting in the party started way back before the president's demise. It was our expectation to get over these differences and get united and, first of all, accord the president a decent, dignified funeral. Then we could have gone back to looking at who could succeed the president. That is the only way we can inspire confidence in the people of Zambia. But as the situation looks now, we can only look to God to give us direction.
I also spoke to ordinary Zambians on the streets of Lusaka about their views on the country's political situation. Michael Kangwa is a teacher at a private school in Lusaka and is in full support of the government decision to allow Scott to rule.
I'm a full supporter of the constitution, and everything that is happening is constitution. So I'm not against the Guy Scott exercising his authority constitutionally. I think we live in a society where everyone should be equal by now. As long as he's executing his commands as a human being to his fellow human beings, I don't have an issue with him being white or black or yellow, no.
So what I can say that for Guy Scott, anyway, it's okay. But the thing which he spoke yesterday, saying that Guy Scott, he has started reshuffles. That thing is not good because we have not yet buried our president. So for him starting appointing other people and removing other people, that's not good.
So, him being black, white?
Okay, for him being white, it's okay. For him, since he said that he may look to be white, but the blood, it's black. But the way he has started behaving, for me, I'm disappointed with him. From yesterday, I'm not happy.
John Musonda, a political analyst, says the leadership crisis in the ruling Patriotic Front Party is a wake-up call for African politics to prepare for succession.
That is a manifestation of failure of leadership and governance, and this is the challenge that Africa has. Africa has had this twin challenge of leadership and governance. You cannot have independence for 50 years where you fight for self-rule and set a fort to go to state house for 10 years and within 3 years is out of the equation and we don't have a success. In PF, people are searching for a successor. What has happened in the 50 years that we don't understand democracy? You can never have democracy without democrats. Democrats, they know if you are a leader, you should train other leaders. Your success should be measured by how strong your party stands once you are gone.
The country's chief legal advisor, Musa Mwenye, was quoted in media reports as saying that Scott is a rightful person to act as president during the 90-day transition period. Zambia is scheduled to elect a new president in January 2015.
Kathy Sikombe in Lusaka. To get an analysis on Zambia's succession wrangles, my colleague Assumpta Latus spoke to Lee Habasonda, president of Transparency International Zambia chapter.
I don't think it is the beginning. I think the power struggle has been ongoing since President Tata disappeared from public view a couple of months before he died. And in fact, the sacking of the former Secretary General was partly for the same reason of succession wrangles, and I think this is simply a manifestation of the same. Although I think it is still being subdued because of the fact that President Tata has not been buried. I can promise that as soon as the president is buried, we will see much more of such activity.
How damaging can the power struggle within the PF party be?
I think very damaging, and if they don't handle this process carefully and meticulously, they could be handing over power to the opposition on a silver platter. Clearly, these power struggles will have the effect of dividing the party into different camps, such that it would be difficult to move into the election as a united force.
Now, Lungu has accused Zambia's acting president of illegally firing him. Can the sacking be justified?
The party constitution for the PF does give both the Secretary General and the Vice President of the party to actually take disciplinary measures. In this case, there are two articles on the PF Constitution. The first, in Article 53A, does suggest that the Secretary General may take over when the President is removed or resigns. But in 54D, it does give the vice president power to take over in the case of death. In terms of the power he has exercised, it will depend on the interpretation, but the party constitution does give him the power to act in the manner that he has done.
Well, there's a lot of confusion and chaos in Zambia after the acting president fired Lungu. Now, how popular is Lungu in Zambia?
I think that Lungu is a man that has just come to the fore. People have come to like him because he is not abrasive. He is a polite guy. He's a guy that is seen to be neutral. He socializes with the poor people, so he resonates very well with the ordinary person. It is also possible that the vice president may have fired Lungu to try and test his popularity across the country. I am very confident that for now, the protagonists and the factions within the PF will bury their differences for the sake of giving their leader, our leader, the president, a befitting burial. What we expect to see will be much more, I think, after the burial, when people will come out in the open to show which side they belong within the PF.
Head of Zambia's Transparency International, Lee Habasonda.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
promise of power. Burkina Faso's de facto military leader, Colonel Isaac Zida, has reiterated that a transitional government founded on consensus would soon take power. Blaise Compaoré, president for 27 years, fled the West African nation following protests led by the opposition. However, the opposition now appears to lack a vision for the future. Instead, it is the country's vocal civil society which has taken on the role of a catalyst for real change in the country. This report by Max Borowski has been adapted for Africa Link by Susan Holton.
It had all been a misunderstanding, said Saran Serame in an interview with DW. Serame is the only female leader among Burkina Faso's dozen opposition parties. On Sunday, demonstrators had declared her the new president of the country, following the sudden departure of Blaise Compaoré. Now, Serame says that had not been her intention. She claims she was taken to national television headquarters in the capital against her will and had never intended to have herself proclaimed president. Burkina Faso's opposition parties had long been calling for the resignation of President Compaoré. But when he was toppled last week after days of sometimes violent protests, it was not the established opposition figures such as Serame, leader of the Party for Development and Change, PDC, who took charge of events. It was rather the demonstrators on the streets who demanded that the politicians should take action. Adam Kanazuri heads the opposition Youth Alliance for the Independence of the Republic. He admits that his party was taken by surprise.
The resignation of Blaise Compaoré could not have been predicted and was not planned. Now we have to digest what has happened.
Like other opposition party leaders, Kanazuri does not wish to propose a successor for Compaoré, nor issue concrete demands for Burkina Faso's political future. Opposition forces agree that they should all, together with the military, jointly seek a candidate to head the country during the interim period. Even if we all have our own strategies, as Saram Serame put it.
The problem is that all these opposition parties don't have any really concrete programs. They talk about values like democracy, peace and harmony, but this is all quite vague.
That's Elke Ehrlicher, head of the West Africa program at the German Konrad Adenauer Foundation. She points out that none of the opposition leaders at this stage have any interest in heading an interim government, as that could exclude them from running for the presidency at a later date. Most parties are defined by their leaders, who use them as stepping stones on the way to acquiring power. Many of today's leading opposition figures, such as Saran Serame and Zéphirin Diabré of the Union for Progress and Change, are former members of Compaoré's ruling party, the Congress for Democracy and Progress, CDP, which means there are few ideological differences between the parties. There have even been expressions of respect from CDP members for the demonstrators, who had turned a page in their country's history. Most vocal right now is Burkina Faso's civil society, which has developed into a force to be reckoned with, says Elke Ehrlicher.
Whoever wants to lead the country must sit down at the table with all these organizations who will definitely continue to play a role in the near future.
Das wird in Burkina Faso so nicht weitergehen.
The civil society groups would not be prepared to accept a return to the corruption and nepotism of the past.
That report by Max Borowski was presented by Susan Holton. You're listening to DW Africa Link from Bonn, Germany.
Behind the headlines.
Crime country. About 50 people are killed violently in South Africa every day, according to statistics. The murder of South Africa's football captain Senzo Meweya in Johannesburg just over a week ago highlighted the high rate of violent crime in the country. The football star's killing took place only a few days after a prominent politician and former spokesperson of the ruling ANC, Jackson Mthembu, was shot and wounded by armed gunmen. As Subri Govender reports, violent crime has reached such high proportions that many South Africans feel trapped in their own homes.
We were woken up to shouting in the lounge. We dove out of bed, came around the corner, and as we came around the corner, a gun was pointed in my face. They tied up myself, my son, my husband, and my 17-year-old daughter.
55-year-old Karen Muhed of the residential area of Forest Hills, west of Durban, describing what took place at her home at 2 o'clock in the morning last Wednesday. Four armed men broke into her home and, after overpowering and blindfolding all the occupants, went about systematically ransacking the home of television sets and other electronic gadgets like laptops, cell phones and bank cards. The robbers then left.
The last thing they said, one of them said to us, was, okay, we've got your card, we want the PIN. If we can't draw out money, these two guys that I'm leaving here, and then they went silent. They didn't finish that sentence.
When the family finally realized that the armed men had left, they untied themselves and alerted their neighbors and the police.
I'm thankful. My children and my family are alive. Simple as that. Thank God. You know, if I had to ask for anything, it would be that. And I got it. So the rest will come.
Another victim of violent crime is 43-year-old father of four children, Derek Maimuza Ndluli. He lives in the residential area of Kwamashu in Durban that is seen as a crime hotspot. Ndluli was nearly shot after playing in a soccer match.
I've been in so many occasions of violence. I saw it in Depa Iwamashu. Actually, when I was playing soccer, I did survive. We finished our game. Those people were trying to shoot and kill us.
The traumatic experiences of the Muhed family and Ndluli is the everyday life of most South Africans who fall prey to violent criminals despite being forced to live behind high walls, fences, electric beams and alarm systems, and armed private security response. They also have to take extra precautions when they leave home for work or to visit shopping malls against being hijacked, held up, robbed, or killed by armed bandits. In reality, South Africans live like prisoners in their own homes and at work in their offices and businesses.
Victor Control, Victor Charlie.
These are workers at the Reaction Unit South Africa security company, which has been operating from the town of Verlam, north of Durban, for the past 16 years. The company has a staff of 700 security officers, 35 well-equipped security vehicles, 5 motorbikes, 3 ambulances, and a helicopter. The company was established by a former police reservist, Prem Balram, who works closely with the police to prevent crime. He says the crime rate is increasing all the time, despite the efforts of the South African Police Service and private security companies.
Violent crime has been highlighted for years. It's just highlighted more internationally when there's somebody that's famous that's killed, if the family of the president or anybody, a member of the parliaments are robbed, or obviously a football star like Senzo. But people in South Africa are killed every day. It's 45 people a day are murdered in this country.
The recent shooting of Senzo Maiwa, South Africa's football captain, sparked outrage within the public at government's failure to address the issue of the increasing crime wave in South Africa. Victims like Muhed and Ndluli believe that heavy sentences should be reintroduced as a deterrent.
Death penalty is a good thing. Absolutely.
I think it can help because you see the violence in our countries is very high. They should bring it back so that maybe it can help.
That report was compiled by Subri Govender. Now let's talk about money. Well, actually, the lack of it. Cash-strapped Malawi is bracing itself for tough economic times as the Malawian kwacha continues to depreciate against major international currencies. Malawi's economy has been on the decline after donors cut their support following corruption scandals. George Mhango sheds light on the country's economic situation.
Contrary to earlier predictions, current figures indicate that the Malawi kwacha is trading at a very bad rate against foreign currencies. Financial analysts had hoped the local unit would stabilize after a major $362 million increase in tobacco sales this year, but it performed woefully. The kwacha relies heavily on the US dollars to trade in international market, but donors froze aid in November last year, thereby reducing the flow of foreign currencies into the local market. Since that aid blackout, Malawi relies mainly on remittance to fuel its foreign exchange reserve. Business entrepreneur and shareholder of Candlex Malawi Limited, Frederick Shangaya, said the solution is to support the private sector.
We need to change the way we do things. Government must come right and say, those local companies, this is how we support them. This is the time we need to help them. hey, Reserve Bank, put a rule. I'm just thinking off my head. Put a rule that commercial banks must sell at whatever rate they want, but they must sell 60% of the forex, because we know now it's in short supply. But 60%, they must sell it to companies that add value.
The public sector import reserve compared to 2013 is at 2.3 months higher than last year's. But the private sector is behind at 1.6 months. The challenge on the currency, however, is emanating from other sources. Blantyre-based financial expert Lockington Kausipa argued Lilongwe needs to clear up all donor aid uncertainties, settle trade imbalances, and give significant boosts to current account deficits, low foreign exchange reserves, and export. Kausipa said governance in Malawi needs a complete overhaul.
Government should increase its export base and tighten its belt on public expenditure and promote agricultural production by giving incentives to the farmers by negotiating better prices for the farm produce. Also, there's need to improve financial management system in the civil service, which has been breeding grounds for frauds, evidenced by the Cashgate scam. Focus on tourism as an engine for the economic growth, replacing tobacco industry, which has been relied on too much as major forex earner for the country.
The new government in Lilongwe has promised to implement several projects that will trigger upper trajectories in the Kwacha. It also hopes the European Union, World Bank, and the African Development Bank will resume their full financial backing by the end of the year. Guro Gondwe is the Minister of Finance and Economic Development.
Most of my time has been to go from one donor to the other to ascertain what their decision really is. I found that some one or two or three of them are prepared now to resume budgetary support, but others are not. They are still talking to their capitals. You have to give them some time to do so.
But these promises have not seen an increase in consumer spending. Rather, the depreciation of the value of the kwacha has seen prices of food commodities skyrocketing. The future of the country hangs on a very thin thread, according to these Blantyre residents.
We are facing so many challenges because the take-home is too little. Comparing maybe to the two past regimes, but that now the pain is too much and we are facing the tough going.
As a consumer, I think I can agree with those that are saying the life of consumers now is miserable as compared to the former regime. I think now we are experiencing the most hard times as consumers. We are spending more on groceries because the prices are high now.
George Mhango with that report from Blantyre.
Opinion.
This week's opinion takes us back to our top story. In a bid to defuse a brewing political battle, Zambia's acting president, Guy Scott, reinstated the country's defence minister and presidential hopeful, Edgar Lungu, as the ruling Patriotic Front Secretary General. Scott's decision to sack Lungu had initially triggered riots in Zambia's two largest cities. These events lead us to ask this question. Is Edgar Lungu the right person to succeed Michael Sata? Send us your say either by text message on +491 6095759510, an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. That's DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. And now, before we go, here's a reminder of our main stories. Zambia's acting president, Guy Scott, has reinstated Edgar Lungu as the party chief. Burkina Faso's military leader, Isaac Zida, has promised to hand over power to a civilian leader chosen by consensus. And Malawians have been warned to prepare for tough economic times as their currency continues to slide against major currencies. And there we come to the end of this edition of Africa Link. For more news on Africa, visit our website, dw.de/Africa. And do join me same time tomorrow. And until then, I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Bye for now.